Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, tasked with the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. A warm welcome this Friday. Today's message is focused on the fantastic miracles of Jesus' ministry that were reported in detail in the Bible. Jesus Christ is the ultimate minister, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. And in today's message, Bishop Dag will encourage you to aim to have a ministry as close as possible to that of Jesus Christ. Enjoy today's blessed word.
Sharing with you about these miracles. Now, just to give you a little background, today's message is about the leper. I started last week, the leper who asked Jesus if he wanted to heal him, he could, right? Can we get rid of the hum? Gentlemen in the control room, can you get rid of this? There's a hum here. Some sound here. Okay, hello. The miracles of Jesus, right, is a very, very important subject because I believe that the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we must try to emulate. We must try to have a ministry that is as close to the ministry of Jesus. How many believe that? Hello? I cannot hear myself very well. Give me some volume in the monitors, please. Now, when you read the Bible, you get the impression that there were so many, many miracles. I mean, like the whole Bible is just miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. However, when you go through and start to actually count, you will find out that there are actually just 25 different miracles which are reported in detail. Are you understanding me? Now, the thing is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were often reporting the same miracle. You get it? And so you get the impression that it's different things all the time. Because when you read from the beginning of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you get the impression that, you know, it's miracles throughout from Matthew up to John. But it's the same miracle. Sometimes all of them reported the same miracle. Or sometimes two of them reported. Sometimes only one of them reported. Now, God, in His wisdom, has given us the scriptures plus the particular miracles which Jesus did, because these are not all the miracles that Jesus did. There were some miracles that He did, right, that are not written down. And then also apart from that, there were the big crusades where He healed a lot of people. For instance, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, which I like to call the 26th miracle, is where the Bible says, and when even was come, they brought unto Him all that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirits with His word, and He healed all that were sick. And then verse 17 says that it might be fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah said, that He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Amen. So that miracle, right, is one of the, you know, it's like He healed all of them. However, there are some particular cases which you realize that these guys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and so on, they really remembered that day and those things that happened. And I believe it's because they are very outstanding and notable, and God wants us to learn something great and some kind of great a lesson and blessing from those particular miracles. For instance, John was the only person who recorded certain things I don't know, because the miracles he recorded were fantastic. I don't know why Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't remember those ones or didn't write them down. Because John is the only one who recorded four of them, the healing of the nobleman's son, the healing of the man who had been by the pool for 38 years, the pool of Bethesda, that's in John 5. And then in John chapter 9, the blind man whom the disciples asked, who sinned, his father or his mother, that he was blind? And Jesus said, no, for the glory of God. Remember that blind man? Lord, the whole of John chapter 9 is about that one. And then John chapter 11, the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So John is the only one. Matthew didn't record the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they didn't record. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke also had their own series of miracles that they recorded. For instance, the madman of Gadara, all of them remember that particular case and reported it. The woman with the issue of blood, all of them reported it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this leper, all of them also recorded. So you realize that God brought these particular ones out of the plenty or the many people who were healed to teach us something and to bring us to a certain point in the ministry, and to, because the cases are the same. Amen. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he was healing lepers yesterday, he is healing lepers today. If he was healing incurable diseases yesterday, he is healing incurable and impossible situations today. Hallelujah. All right. So as we study these, you realize that they are very powerful things which we can learn a lot from. Also, you will find out when you study these miracles that they occurred in groups. It's not like just 20 different every day there was a miracle. And you find out that they occurred in groups. For instance, these particular miracles that I'm talking about, there's a series of five of them, they occurred when Jesus came down from the Sermon on the Mount. So you'll find out in Matthew chapter 8, it says that when he came down from the Sermon on the Mount, then he met this leper who asked him, if you will, you can heal me. After that, he was called to the centurion servant's house and he healed them. And after that, he went to Peter's house and he healed Peter's mother-in-law. And after that, the Bible says, in the evening, when even was come, they brought unto him multitudes that were possessed with devils. And he healed them, cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. And then the next day after that, he was on his way and he saw, passing by the city of Nain, he saw this woman whose only son had died, a widow, and he raised that one from the dead. So these five occurred in a series. And I call them the Sermon on the Mount miracles, because they occurred just after. On another occasion, Jesus came along and there was another series of miracles where, starting with the madman of Gadara, he cured that man. He crossed the river, he came back. When he got into his house, the Bible says they brought him the paralytic man. Remember the paralyzed man who that was brought through the roof? Remember that story? All of them reported. You always remember those testimonies. They are very vivid. And then after that, they came to call him to heal Jairus' daughter. And then on his way, the woman with the issue of the blood touched him and she was healed. And he got to Jairus' house. He healed the daughter. And as he came out of Jairus' daughter's house, two blind men followed him and he healed those two blind men as well. So that is also another series of miracles. Hallelujah. Are you getting the pattern? So you see that this, and John has his own series of miracles. And then there are the miscellaneous, isolated, scattered ones, like the healing of the epileptic and the healing of that woman, of the Syrophoenician woman, who Jesus said, I don't give my bread to children's bread to, you know, the dogs and so on. And so you have those scattered miracles and so on. So you get, that's a general picture. And so when we take each one, you begin to see and learn many beautiful, important revelations which can take us. Now, let me tell you something. Until the church is like, and the pastors and the ministers are like Jesus, we are not where we are supposed to be. Jesus is the ultimate minister. He is the best pastor, the best evangelist, the best teacher, the best prophet. We as pastors must aim. That is my aim, to be like Jesus. Amen. I don't want just to be like a philosopher, you know, like a kind of teacher of nice ideas. You get what I'm saying? Because there are many people like me who are not Christians, motivational speakers. That's what they call them. I saw one on Breakfast Show. Did you see the motivational speaker on Breakfast Show? Yeah. So you could easily call me a motivational speaker if I don't have miracles in my life and ministry. Amen. But I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm trying to follow Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. So I want my ministry to be like Jesus. All pastors must want their ministries to be like Jesus. And when we study these miracles, we begin to get fantastic revelations. And I've been teaching on the madman of Gadara in the first service. And then in this service, I'm teaching another set of the miracles. But they are in series, you know, different lines of miracles. All right. So now, today we are looking at the leper who said, "If you will, you can heal me." And Jesus said, "I will." You get it? Matthew 8. It's a very nice miracle. Let's look at it. Okay. And you see it right there. Matthew chapter 8. Now, notice verse 1. And that's why I said, these are the Sermon on the Mount miracles. Okay. "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him." Remember I told you that he went to the mountain to preach, okay, Sermon on the Mount. All that Matthew 5, 6, 7, blessed are the sick, blessed are the poor, blessed are the whatever there is all. Not blessed are the sick, blessed are the poor and those other ones. Verse 2. "And behold, there came a leper," all right, "and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony." All right. And then notice verse 5. "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion." Remember this story? And saying, "Lord, my servant is at home." So I told you, they in series, they flow in a particular order. And that story is in Luke 7 as well. But this one of the leper is in Mark chapter 1. And Luke chapter 5, you find the same story. Matthew, Mark, and Luke reported this particular testimony in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, today we want to continue looking at this leper, and we want to ask ourselves a question. Why did the leper ask Jesus, "If you will," you get it? In other words, if you want to, you can heal me. And then the second question we want to ask ourselves is, why did Jesus say, "I will"? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay, so these are two questions. Why did the leper ask Jesus, "If you want to heal me, you can heal me"? Why did the leper ask that question? Okay, now let me try and attempt to give you the answer for that. And then next week I'll give you why Jesus said, "I will, I want to heal you, and I will heal you." Hallelujah. Now, the first reason why the leper asked, how many would ask Jesus the same question? You know, how many if you were sick, and how many would feel that if God really wants to heal you, he can? Huh? How many believe that if God really wants to cure all people in wheelchairs, he can? Is that not so? Yeah. So why is it that we are asking that question? Why? Because if you people are saying that, that's a good question. Why are you asking, "If you want to, you can"? Why? Pardon? The will of God should be done. You see a lot of sick people not being healed. Some people still seem to remain sick. Amen. So let me show you why we all have that way of thinking. And next week, I'm going to help you to correct that way of thinking, because we don't have much time. Amen. The first reason is because not everybody in the ministry of Jesus was healed. Not everybody. Not everybody. And so, when the leper said to Jesus, "If you really want to heal me, you can," then, my dear brother, we can somehow understand why the leper was saying that, because not everybody was healed under the ministry of Jesus. Why do I say not everybody was healed? Because remember the lame man who was by the temple? Remember the lame man who was by the temple when Peter and John were going up on the hour of prayer, and then they healed him? The Bible said the man had been there for many years. Did Jesus not go to that temple? Jesus went to that temple. Apparently, Jesus did not heal that man. Otherwise, he would not have been there. It was a route that Jesus was using all the time. Secondly, if you look in John chapter 5, the Bible says the man was by the pool of Bethesda. And there were a multitude. In fact, the Bible describes a scene. If you have ever been in a place with a lot of sick people, if you people are, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where there are a lot of sick and dying people, there is even a scent. There's a smell there. It's almost like the smell of death. When I read John chapter 5, I can almost smell that smell. Because it says there was a multitude of halt and paralyzed and sick and dying people all gathered in that place. So you can almost smell death as you read that chapter. But the Bible says, Jesus, when he saw that a particular man had been there for a long time, he went up to that man and asked him, do you want to be made whole? It was a very funny question, which is a question we are going to look at one day. Why did Jesus ask the man whether he wanted to be well? You know, and the man explained, I've been here for 38 years. Others have been healed all the time. And the Bible says, Jesus healed the man and ran away from the service. So not everybody was healed. Only one person was healed and the rest. So when the leper is asking if he wants to, it's almost a legitimate question. Because it looks like not everybody's healed. Number two, not everybody was healed under the ministry of Elijah. If you care, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 4. Our time, you know, it's really funny the way the time goes. Luke chapter 4. Verse 24, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Is that not so? But I tell you of a truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months. Amen. Are you there? Are you with me? There were many widows there in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Verse 26, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, a woman that was a widow. Now verse 27, there were how many lepers? There were how many lepers? Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah, or Eliseus the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Amen. So, in the ministry of Elijah, there were also a lot of people, Pastor Eddie, who had leprosy. And only one particular leper was healed. And even that leper was outside Jerusalem. He was a Syrian in Syria. So, when the man says that, if you want to heal me, you can heal me, it is almost, I say almost, because when we know a little more, we will not ask that question. Hallelujah. But when you see certain things, you may ask that question. Are you here or you've gone home? If you want to heal me, you can heal me. The third reason is not everybody was healed under the ministry of Paul. Under the ministry of Jesus, not everyone was healed. Under the ministry of Elijah, not everyone was healed. Under the ministry of Paul, not everyone was healed. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. And you notice verse 20. Let's read verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 19. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Verse 20. And Erastus abode at Corinth. But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Paul had one of his workers whom he left at Miletum, sick. Miletum or Miletus? Miletum. So Paul was a power. Many know that Paul even raised the dead. But he had one of his workers or somebody, he left him sick and left the scene. So out of the ministry of Paul, not everybody was healed. So when this leper asks, if you will, you can heal me, it seems that he had a point. Amen. And finally, under the ministry of Elisha, not everyone was healed, especially he himself. Hallelujah. And you find that in 2 Kings chapter 13, you find right there at the beginning, you know, verse 14, it says, now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. You get it? Now, Elisha did not die the death of an old man. He did not go to heaven like Elijah. He got sick. And the Bible says he was sick of his sickness whereof he died. The sickness that made him die had started, but apparently it was a chronic disease. So it wasn't something that came and suddenly he died and everybody said, oh, Elijah has suddenly died. He was apparently sick for some time and then he died. So when the leper was saying, if you want to heal me, you can heal me, it's because there were a lot of questions about healing and about miracles. And there are still a lot of questions about healing and about miracles. And those questions have not gone away. No matter who it is, Oral Roberts, Benny Hinn, Catherine Coleman, William Branham, all these people have operated in powerful miracle ministries. They come in droves, in large numbers of wheelchairs and people on, stretchers, ambulances, drips, nurses, doctors, and a large number of them go back unhealed. There were many lepers in the days of Elijah. Only one leper was healed. So there is a mystery. And in fact, I was going to give you some reasons why this is like that. But the Lord told me that I should not attempt to give a reason as though that is the reason. But I should give what he has given me, which is just a glimpse. When I say a glimpse, it's just a little idea of some of the reasons why some of these things may be taking place, but not the real answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because we don't know everything. And when we try to say we know, we deceive ourselves. But the little that the Lord has showed us, I believe that we can understand. Now, one of the reasons is that some of the reasons for people being sick are legal reasons. There are legal reasons why some people are ill. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4 very quickly, and I'm going to show you a story there. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be born men. Verse 2, and Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art coming, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her. She poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of, and he said, go and sell thy oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Amen. Now, this is a story. I'm sure you've never associated this story with healing. But it's a very powerful testimony here. The Bible says that there was a certain pastor who died, and his wife was around in the system still. Now, the Bible says when the husband was alive, the husband had gone to borrow some money. You get it? The husband had gone to borrow some money, or the wife had gone to borrow some money. Now, the woman was a widow. Now, widows don't have so much money. And so now the Bible says that there was a man who they borrowed the money from. And this man was coming for his thing. Now, when he was coming for the money, the woman did not have the money. So the man said, well, if you don't have the money, I am going to take your children captive. And I'm taking your children into bondage. And they will remain in bondage until my debt is paid, period. And the woman knew that the man had a right to come and take her children into captivity. And the children had no choice in the matter, because their father or their mother had done certain arrangements which were now leading to their captivity. So when Elisha was told the story, he did not work a miracle against the man who was coming for the children, because he knew that they had a right to come for the children and put them in captivity, which is sickness, which is curses, which is demons, which is certain problems which don't go away. The man had a legal right to come for the person. And so Elisha solved the problem not by destroying the creditor who was coming for the children, but by giving the woman oil to pay, so that the man does not have a legal right to come and take the children into captivity. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There are many captivities which are very legal captivities. Now, if you get up and the man is coming and Elisha goes to the man's house to try and take away the child, the man will say, look, when your father was coming to borrow the money, do you know where I got the money from? Do you know where I went together? Do you know what I did? How I had to stop this, stop my building project, and cancel this, and spoil my business so that I could give the money to him? And now you are saying that you are coming for... You must be joking. We are going to court. And when you go to court, the man says, yeah, you borrowed the money. The man even spoiled his business and so many things. The man has a lot of argument. Why? How he gave you the money and how he has a right to have those children as captive. Because that is the only way you can pay for it. Ladies and gentlemen, many of us are captive because of some things our grandfathers, fathers, and other people have gone and engaged in certain things that have put us into bondage. That is why sometimes some of the prayers don't work against those things, because legally they have a right. You see, Jesus walked away from a lot of sicknesses. He didn't even touch it. Just saw all the people, they just walked out. Just one guy just healed the guy and he went away. It explains a lot of things. I'm not saying that it is hopeless, but I want you to understand that there are some things that perhaps those are the reasons why some of those things don't seem to get cured. That is why most of the powerful healings are mercy, what we call mercy healing. That's why that blind man Bartimaeus, you know what he cried for? He didn't cry for healing. He said, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. When Jesus went to Jericho, he was coming out of Jericho, he met the blind man. One of the versions says he met a blind man. Another one said there were two blind men. One was called Bartimaeus. So it looks like Bartimaeus had a companion. And Jesus, he cried, said, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. On my hypertension, on my asthma, on my sickle cell disease, on my these things that are inherited, and sometimes they are in family. You don't even know where. When you wake up, you realize that you are a sickler. When you wake up, you realize that you are hypertensive. Before you realize you are experiencing diabetes. Before you realize you are about to die. And that's why we need the mercy of God and the grace of God. And that's why the man said, if you want to, if you will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, I will. And next week, we are going to know why Jesus said, I will. And why he's saying still today, I will and I want to. In spite of everything that exists and other legal things that exist, he wants to, he can, and you are the next person he's about to heal and do a miracle to. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Our time is up. We shall continue next week. How many are enjoying the stories of Jesus' miracles and healings? Powerful. We are blessed with all these testimonies. It's like we are walking in Jerusalem and we are experiencing Jesus talking to the different people. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord and just thank God for healing ministry. God is healing people today. God is doing miracles. If you are listening to this program by tape or by radio, whatever, receive your miracle healing right now. Father, thank you that you will. You will. You will. You want to. You want to heal us. You want to touch us. You want to bless us. You want to heal us. Thank you for your anointing. We believe that you will. You want to. You are healing right now. Thank you for miracles. Thank you for healing that are taking place right now. Extension of life, prolongation of days. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, you want to give your life to Jesus, raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just raise up your right hand. Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. Lift up your right hand. God bless you. If you've lifted up your hand, I want you to come to the front. Come to me here. And I'm going to pray with you. Powerfully. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.